In our study in the book of John, we're going to be reading verses 12 to 25, at least the first part of 25. John chapter 8, starting at verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." When they asked him, "Where is your Father?" You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come. Once more Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come?'" But he continued, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. Let us give thanks for God's words. Father, we just thank you so much for your truth. We thank you, Father, that you bring us to this moment where we can share it together. And certainly, Lord, as we lift up worship to you, these are the words that we worship, that we lift them up to you, Father, that we ask that you help us to receive your message, to receive your meaning. For we know, Father, that this is our salvation, that this is our transformation, that this is how we grow and are purified. So we ask now, Father, for your word to be in us in the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be closer to you today than we were yesterday, and that we will be closer to you even still more tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you notice that Jesus is still working on this identity thing about who he is, and as he's working with them, I think it's very prudent for us to kind of, if you would just flip through some of your pages after that chapter, just kind of eye that so you know where we're at. But just take a kind of a bearing, if you will, of the map that we're following. That if you look at that, you see after Jesus deals with the identities, and not only himself, but then those around him, then we start seeing some more of the healings, and we start seeing some more of the teachings. And so the reason that he brings us to this moment, and it's lasted kind of a little while through all this, is because it's important that we understand who he is. We need to know who Jesus is. When he says that he's the Messiah, what does that mean? When he says he is the Christ, what does that mean? But more importantly, what does that mean to us? What does that do in our lives, or help us with in our lives, that as we look at who Jesus is and what he is in our lives? You see, our very faith validates what Jesus has told us. Our lives validate what it is that Christ has given to us. So in other words, if we have Christ in us, then we live Christ through us. And so that should show in our lives, and that should show in all the things that we do in the world around us. And it doesn't matter that, you know, church ends at 12 or sometime after. You know, it doesn't matter if we spend this time here. What matters is what happens when we go out there. Okay, that as we go from worship, we walk out there into this place of darkness, into this world that doesn't really know Jesus, that really does ask these questions: who are you? that when we hear that, then we should be the ones who live that out so they would know who He is. You see, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Son of God, is who He says He is. And as He says He is this person, this being here in the world, it is up to us to accept it. And if we reject it, it doesn't change who He is. He continues on who He is. But what changes in our lives, what we don't receive, is this gift, this grace of salvation that He has brought into the world. So this is the significance of it. We must know who He is. We must know who He is. That if we're going to receive salvation, or we receive salvation, and now we want to live it out, which is where we're at right now, if we have Christ, then we have to know who He is. We have to know who He is so that we can walk forward and be that then in the world as representatives of Jesus Christ. Yesterday I had this opportunity to go and speak over at the Seventh-day Church. They have a pastor now, by the way. They just got a new pastor, and so... They did their installation for him, so I got invited to come and speak over there. And as I went over there to talk or to speak to them, it was only a few minutes. It was nothing that you're going to suffer today, by no means, you know. And as I went over there, though, we went over on a Saturday, okay? Saturday, okay? Because the Seventh-day Baptist Church worships on a Saturday. Okay, they say, they declare that it's Sabbath, and that's when they worship. And so don't you think it's just a little bit odd that they would bring a guy over to speak to them who goes to church and it's not Saturday? Don't you think that's a little odd? That they would bring him over and they would say, you know, so I addressed that with them. You know, I'm not one to let anything lie. You know, if you get up and you walk out the back of the church halfway through my sermon, I'm going to say, where are you going? And so as I was over there and I brought this point to them, and that, you know, I wanted them to understand this one thing, that I believe that we all live in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that we who believe in Jesus and follow Jesus Christ, we live under one Spirit, we live under one God, we live under one baptism, one Christ, that as we live under all these one things, that means then that we must be one family. We must be unified in all of these things. We must be in this together. And so I vowed for myself, and for you, by the way, that our doors would always remain open, that we would always see them as brothers and sisters, even though they still haven't got the Sunday thing figured out. Although I did give them this, worship on Saturday is much better for NFL football when it comes around. But we give that to them. They got that one before us. Now certainly we know there's some theological differences. There's some understandings that they have that we don't agree with, and that's why we worship here and they worship over there. They understand that too. But what does that give us cause to act as if they are not the believers that Christ has called them to be? Nothing. Now, if they reject Jesus, we have a different story. But if they receive Jesus Christ and they are saved by Jesus Christ and they walk in Jesus Christ, then we need to know who Jesus Christ is. They need to know who Jesus Christ is. All of us together are in the same boat. All of us together in this unity of Jesus Christ's family, who God is the Father, Jesus the Son, that then we live in this unity, we must know who He is. You ever wonder why it is that people look in on us and they say, well, why would we come and be with you when you guys don't get along? That there's a church that sits over here just a block or two away that we would never grace their doorsteps, nor would they grace ours. Because somehow or other, they're different. You would almost think they were Catholics. Don't worry, we're gonna get to the Reformed Dutch too. But as we look at all of these things that are going on, and Jesus steps in and He says He unifies us, we have to understand why, and how does He do this? What is it that unifies us under Jesus Christ? We must know who He is. Because you see, then if we take His message, let's say we come to Jesus now, we didn't know who He was, now we know, we take His message, and now we go out into the world in life, we take that with us. We have to live that out in the world. It's not good enough, loved ones, to live it here in this church. It's only good enough when you go out there and it becomes everything that you are. That when you stand in the line where someone is trying to buy groceries and they don't have enough money, you help them out. That when you see someone who is in need, you help. And you say, well, I don't have anything myself. Well, God never gave so that you could have. He gave so that you could give away, that you give away what you have. And if you walk in Jesus Christ, guess what you're always giving away? Jesus Christ. But we must know who He is, what He is in our lives, that He can declare that. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. In our verse 12, Jesus makes this declaration. If you join me there, He says, I am the light of the world. Okay, so Jesus is using a reference to the I am. And back in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, you remember that's when Moses is at the burning bush and God's going to send him out to rescue His people, to save His people from the Egyptians. And so Moses, of course, you know, he's in this negotiation phase, right? He's trying to talk his way out of this thing. He said, well, you know, I don't talk really well, God. Maybe you should find somebody else. You know, so he's asking all of these questions to God. And in 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is His name? Okay, because that's a big deal. I want to, you know, if I'm going to know His name, I should be able to tell them the name. And if they say, well, what's His name? I say, I don't know His name. They're going to wonder, do I know Him? Plus, what he's hoping is that he can kind of get out of this, too. If I can't have a name to give him, well, I guess I'm not the guy, right? He says, but then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. I am. Now Jesus calls upon that same terminology. Jesus calls on the same phrase of the I am, the great I am. And so as he calls upon that, we need to take a note and recognize, you know, because when we get into our studies here, we break it apart, right? We break it apart and we're staring at this one piece here. You know, I do my best to kind of give you all the other stuff that goes with that, you know, but as we look at this, we need to understand that we're looking at a small part of the picture. There's a bigger picture out there, right? There's a God who loved us from the very beginning, a God who knew us before He created us, and that He knew He was going to save us. He knew He was going to bring us out of the condemnation into the salvation of Jesus Christ if we but believe and follow. So as we understand this big picture, then we see Jesus saying, I am. Well, John identifies that seven different times in Scripture. There are seven different times that John gives us I am, that Jesus identifies Himself as the I am. Now, we're not going to go hunt all these down. I'm just going to list them out for you so you can have them. So in chapter 6, verse 35, you remember we had that a few weeks ago. He said, I am the bread of life. And John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. John chapter 10, verse 7, I am the gate for the sheep. John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. All of these things represent to us then who Jesus thinks He is. I am. I am. And this is what Jesus gives us in all of His testimony. He's all of these things, all at the same time. And that as He brings Himself to us and that we bring ourselves to Him and we try to understand who He is, we must understand who He says He is. That's what it means when we say we believe Jesus. We believe Jesus. We believe what He said about Himself. We believe what He taught about Himself. We believe the promise that He gave us. We believe that what He said of the Father, that He was the only one because He was the only one who was there. We believe it. We believe it. And you say, well, what's the proof? What's the proof? This is our proof. That Christ came, that Christ died, and that Christ was risen again. He handed that to us, and He said, this is the proof. And so as we see these things and we bring it, we must have this idea of who Jesus Himself thought He was, and so that we can accept that and that we can receive that. So Jesus said He was the light in the darkness, that He was this light that came in, and certainly we get it, right? We get it. There's this darkness, the light comes in, it shines, and we can see. But what does that really mean? Why does Jesus keep using this reference over and over again? Well, you see, all the way back in Isaiah chapter 49 and verses 5 to 6, God was setting forth the principles to Isaiah of this Messiah, the Savior who would come. Okay, it was a future thing. They were still going to receive the wrath of God, and that they were going to be banished and sent away. They were going to be sent back out into the desert, if you will, that they were going to suffer some more, you know, because they had turned away from God. But God reminds them of this great hope. I am sending to you, my Savior. I'm giving you the one I love, my servant. And so now the Lord says, as Isaiah writes, He says, and now the Lord says, He who formed me in the womb to be a servant to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. That's a long ways away. The ends of the earth, by the way. Now, I know sometimes it seems like Bolivar, you know, seems like the ends of the earth, like it's the armpit or something maybe, but, you know. But we have a long ways to go. We have a long reach out here in our God and our Savior. And our God has a long reach. And He sends this light in, who is His Son, Jesus Christ. And as He sends His light into the darkness, He expects it to shine. And that's why Jesus wants us to understand that. So are we talking about a realistic, no kidding, they turn on this big spotlight and we shine it, they can see it all the way down on down at Bolivar. Who's ever seen those lights on the searchlights? You know, that they you have like a big sale or something. I think you have to be like over 50 to remember those, don't you? You know, they would turn them on and you'd see them on the clouds and you'd go see what it was and they had something for sale there, maybe a new Buick or something. You know, but as Jesus comes in, though, He shines this light, that was the all intention, and certainly it was all of what He expected or that He knew that we expected, or the Jews expected, that as from the Old Testament, that they were looking for this light. They were looking for this light to come into the darkness. Sure, they probably didn't really understand what that meant, but they knew that they would know when the time came. And so here He is. He's standing in front of them. He declares Himself the light. He makes another reference to Himself, of Himself in the Old Testament, where he is witness to. In other words, God is His witness. God is the one who has testified about Him. And so now He comes forward as this light. And what we find then in the light is that John continues to bring that in as a repeating indication that Jesus believes that He is the Messiah, that He believes He's the Son of God. John chapter 1, verses 4 to 5, if you remember, that John was describing who Jesus was himself. And he says, in Him was life, and that light was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. First the Jew, and then the Gentile. So now here we see this all taking place. It's with the Jew, and so then it's going to come to the Gentiles later. But as Jesus sits here and teaches them and helps them to understand, He expects them to be the one to take this light and to shine it in the world. He's going to shine His light through them so that we, the Gentiles, can see that. And He's not asking them, well, what church do you go to? What responsibilities do you have in that church? What He is saying, all of you people who are listening, all of you people who stand here with me, this is the message that I have for you. I am giving you this light. I'm shining the light. I am the light that's going to shine into your darkness. And with this, then, you will shine it out into the rest of the darkness. And so then that will be the salvation of mankind, that this is the message that Jesus brings. A little bit later in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, you remember we talked about this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates light and will come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Man, you know, I don't know that as you know, I know I can be a very confusing person, you know, and I'm confusing here, you know, half hour, 40 minutes. You know, you ought to see me in 5 minutes. I can be the most confusing person in 5 minutes when I go in and I talk to somebody about being unity in the Spirit. You know, because here's the thing. You know, the thing is that as we live out this Spirit, I'm living out this Spirit. I want you to live out this Spirit too. I want you to live out this salvation. You see that as we listen to the things and we see the things of Jesus Christ and we know that He is working in us, He has saved us. He has shined this light into our darkness and we were saved. We came to Him and we said, we believe that You're Jesus Christ. And somebody says, what does that mean? I don't know, but I believe Him. You know, and so then we grew from that. We become more and more in that. And that as Jesus then comes and He says, I'm the light. What we should remember is that then we were the darkness. And as He shined that light upon us, then that's the thing that picked us up. And we either stood in that light and said, please shine it on me some more. Or we stepped out of that light and into the darkness. You see, but it's very confusing sometimes. It's very confusing for us because we carry a lot of extra baggage with us that we think we have to have. That we think that we have to be perfect in all the things that we do, or that we think that in our perfection that somehow or other we have to share that or inflict that on other people that they be perfect too. And that as we cross ourselves up, then all of a sudden we start to separate, we start to divide, we start to become other things. But Jesus never understood that concept. Well, he understood it. He never gave it to us. He never gave us this opportunity to look down on others and say, well, they don't have Jesus. Rather, what he did was he lifted himself up on a cross so that we could see that this is the sacrifice that comes. That this is how we know. That this is the promise. So Jesus clarifies. Pastor's confused. Jesus clarifies, but helps us to understand that Jesus brings us in us. You see, I can preach to you all the truth and clarity that I can bring into this room. But what happens is nothing if the Holy Spirit doesn't stand. If the light doesn't shine on you and you don't stand in the light, it doesn't help. It doesn't change anything. It makes me very confusing to you. Sometimes to myself. Mostly to you. Because you see that as I bring myself here, I bring myself as a broken person. I bring myself here as a saved person. I bring myself here as one who begged to stand in the light of Jesus Christ and who asked for that every day. I want you to have that. I want you to do that. I want you to stand in His light and say, this is what I want, Jesus. I want you. Shine your light on me. I will not be afraid. I will stand in the light, in the darkness, so that they can see you through me, Jesus. So as He teaches who He is, He is showing them that I'm the message, I'm the light, I'm the Word, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. All that you need to be saved, to be rescued from your condemnation is Jesus Christ. That's what you need. There's nothing else. There's no other way. He never offers that. All He ever says, I am. And then that we should believe and that we should follow. You see, John 3, verse 17 to 18, John helps us to understand what Jesus' intent was at his. He taught us, and he says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. What shall I say if they ask me what your name is? I will say, Jesus, the great I am. Jesus Christ, Son of God, God Himself, all of these things that He was, He is. All of these things that He is what I live for. It's what saves me. You see, Jesus doesn't ever beat around the bush about these things. He's always straight to the point. He's always straight to the point. Verse 21 here, Jesus says, once more, Jesus said to them, I'm going away and you will look for me. Okay, now here's a crowd winner. I'm going away and you will look for me. You will die in your sin. So as the pastor comes and steps forward, isn't that something that should be in the front of his mind and in his heart? That if you do not follow Jesus, you will die in your sins. But that's not what always happens, is it? Sometimes he tells you about how much he likes to watch football. Sometimes he tells you about, you know, the day that he had. But the truth is that this is the real message here, isn't it? He says, where I go, you cannot come. How about that? Here, I have this answer. Right here, it's in front of me. You want Jesus Christ. This is salvation. You seek Jesus Christ. You go out to find Jesus Christ. You go out and you look for it. I want that. I want that salvation. He says, well, you'll die in your sins. You won't find me. What kind of message is that? What kind of love offering is that we find ourselves here looking at? Well, you see, it's a warning. It's a warning. Jesus is warning them. He wants them to understand that this is the desperation that they live in. You ever wonder why we have hope in Jesus Christ, but the rest of the world has hopelessness without Him? It's because it's desperate, and it doesn't know it. It's hopeless, and it can't understand hopelessness because they've never had hope. If you live in darkness, you won't know what light is until somebody shines it on your face, and Christ has shown it on their face. He shines it on our face, that He brings it into us. And then, so they now would, they were seeking Jesus, but the problem is they're not seeking real Jesus. They're not seeking Him. They're seeking the things that they want after their own hearts. Give me what I want. But Jesus says there's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life, and that is in Him. He says, so you need to know who He is, and when you reach and you seek Him, that if you don't know His, you will die in your sins. And that's all there's to it. We have sins. We will die in them. Now, it's not an erasure. In other words, it's not an annihilation and all of a sudden you just don't exist anymore. There's plenty more that happens after that. Jesus continues to teach all of these things because Jesus brings us to many understandings of who he really is. He brings us to this understanding of what the world that we live in is really like. Come with me now down to verse 23. Jesus says, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." Okay, he makes a separation. There's two worlds here. I'm from a different world. The world that you're going to enter into when you die. When you enter into that world, then bad things are going to happen to you. Well, what bad things are those, Jesus? He says, "I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He, that I am Messiah, that I am the Good Shepherd, that I am the way, the truth, the life, that I am the bread of life, that I am the light, that if you don't believe these things about me, you will walk into that new world and you will die of your sins." In other words, you will live eternally separated from God in Jesus Christ, which the Bible often refers to as hell. It's not a nice place. It's hot. Hotter than this. That as we understand what Jesus is doing here, Jesus is placing himself between us and hell. He stands in between us. He wants us to hear this message. He wants us to know that salvation is available for us, that he is the one who can. But now if you come with me, we're going to exit those words that we were reading. We're just going to slide down a little further, and we're going to look down at verse 28 and to verse 29. Same chapter, new verses. 28 and 29. So they don't understand that Jesus is talking about all these things. He's talking about his Father. He's talking about himself. They still don't understand. Jesus says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And just as a side note, if you look and see what happens in verse 30, even as he spoke, many believed him. They believed that he was who he says. Now check this out. Check this out. We're going to do just a little bit of a timeline here, and just a little bit, because this is going to be our challenge this week. Jesus Christ is telling them, "You're going to know this when you lift me up." Okay, in other words, when he is crucified. He's talking about his death. When Jesus is crucified, that's when you'll know. That's when you'll have the proof. That's when you'll have the evidence that you need. Because what happens after he dies and he's buried? Resurrected. Comes to life. He comes and he shows us himself. Okay, so that's the marker. The marker is the cross. Doesn't end there, but it certainly does begin there. And so as we come to this moment, then that Jesus is saying, "I'll be lifted up and this will be your proof." Guess where we stand? This side of the cross. Jesus has already been crucified. He's already died and he was buried and he was risen. All of these things have already taken place. And as we stand here now, or sit here as the case may be, as we are gathered here now, that we look to Jesus Christ and we ask who he is, we must always remind ourselves that he is the one who died on the cross for my sins. He died so that I wouldn't have to. See, yeah, but one day I will die. I mean, I got a lofty goal. I'm going to be 100 years old before I die. Okay? I'm hoping that Laura lives to 101. Because that way she has to put up with me for 100 years. Yeah, they're already praying for her. But as we look at all these things, we know that it's going to happen. We are going to die, period. End of sentence. You're going to die. Bad news here. But it should be good news on the other side. But as we pass from this place to the next, from this world that Jesus is not from, but to the world that he is from, that as we cross over into that place, that Jesus will be waiting there for us if we but believe who he says he is. It doesn't get any simpler than that. It doesn't make it more adamant than that. That as Jesus Christ dies on the cross, now we live on this side of the cross, the promise has been made and kept. And not only has it been made and kept, but it's been demonstrated to us so that we can live this out in our lives. So here is the challenge, loved ones. This is the challenge that I have for you. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, this is my challenge to you. I challenge you to live it out. I challenge you to live like people who've been saved by Jesus Christ, Son of God, Messiah, that you believe who he said he is, that you want to be his representative in the world, that you will no longer sit back and just hide yourselves in the darkness, that you will walk out into the light and live as you have been saved by the God who created you. That's all you need. You can be from this church or the Saturday church or the Catholic guys. You can be from any one of those places. But all that matters is that you believe this one thing, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that if you believe that He is Lord, it's because you have accepted all of these other things that He has told us. All these other things. That is your challenge. I know it sounds like a big challenge, but it's not. It's not. You see, when we don't stand up to that challenge, it's because we choose not to. We choose not to answer the question, who are you? You see, we have the answer. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know Jesus and you're wondering about Jesus, if you're here because something brought you here, like somebody twisted your arm and forced you to come here today, okay? Don't twist any more arms, okay? If people want to come, let them come. If they want to leave, then twist their arm. No, I'm just kidding. But if you don't believe that Jesus is your Lord, the question that you have to really deal with here is who He is. There's something that stands between you and that. You're standing right next to the answer, and it's not me and it's not the people who are sitting around you, although we live it out and He lives through us. But you see, Jesus still walks with you and He still talks to you. He wants you to be His. And so as He speaks with you then, and you hear this, it's that voice that brings you here. It's that voice in your heart that helps you to stand here then and listen. You know, some guy yammer on about Jesus Christ for a while. But there's something in there, though. There's something in that brought you here. There's the obstacle that you face is you, that you don't want to believe, that you intentionally reject it, because no one in this room has ever proved it to you without a doubt. But you see, the one who died on the cross is the one who proved it, not us. I have to have no proof. All I have to have is a faith that brings Jesus into the room, the one who does. You see, I know who Jesus is. I know Him. I know that those of you who believe in Him know Him. I know that with all my heart and my faith. But I ask you to live it out. And if you don't know Him, let those who do know Him help you. Father, I just thank You so much for Your loved ones here. I thank You, Lord, for Your message and the time that You give us. I thank You, Father, that you're always there, and You always have the answers that we need. I know, Father, that we have so many questions, so many things we want to know, and You continue to answer them. But I think, Lord, that sometimes we struggle with just receiving them. You give us the answers that maybe we, in our darkness, don't want. So I would ask for Your loved ones, and for myself here today, Lord, is that You help me to hear Your voice, help me to see Your light, always, and that then I would accept it, that I would do it, that I would live it out. That I ask, Father, that You continue to do that for Your loved ones. I ask that You continue to shine Your light on them, even when sometimes, Lord, they don't know who You are. And certainly, Father, I would ask that You would always declare to them that You, Son of God, are Lord in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We'd stand together. We're going to just sing two short verses of In His Time. As Pastor talked about, if you've not received Christ as your Savior and you've got questions, during these two verses, feel free to come on up and somebody will show you from God's Word what that's about. And if by some chance you've received Christ as your Savior this morning, right where you sit, be sure to let somebody know that, okay? It's important. In His time, in His time, He makes all things beautiful. In His time, Lord, please show me every day as You're teaching me Your way, that You do just what You say in Your time, in Your time, in Your time. Father, this morning we just thank you again for your love for us. We thank you for that awesome gift of Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you so much for taking what we deserved, going up on that cross willingly so that we could spend eternity with you. Lord, I just thank you so much for that this morning. Father, again, I pray if there's one person here that maybe is holding out, I pray your Holy Spirit would continue to speak to them. Father, I pray you'd give us safety now as we travel home. I just pray it'd be a great day for all of us, and we thank you for all this through Jesus' name. Amen.